Welcome to episode 78 of Offbeat Tracks. You know, really, in retrospect, it would have been funny to make this one number 69, eh?
Yeah, we really fucked that one up.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, well. Well, 78.
Live, you learn.
Yeah, my name's Max. Hello.
I'm Danielle.
And thank you for downloading our little show. Today, I guess we should just give the warning up front that we're going to talk about a lot of adult themes today because of the nature of the artist that we're covering. So if that sort of thing offends you, why are you even listening to the show in the first place?
Put like earmuffs on your kid. It's cold outside. You should probably do that anyway.
Oh, look at you being a good parent.
Look at me. I'm not even a parent. So it's like perfect.
Today we are talking about a woman named Andrea True, which is not her real name. Her real name was Andrea Truden. Which is very funny. I love that.
It's not her true name. I never thought of it.
Yeah, it is. It is. It both is and is not her true name. She was born on July the 26th, 1943, in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes.
This might be our first Nashville artist.
I think it is. Because most of them are country people.
Exactly.
We ain't talk about that.
I love that our first Nashville artist is Andrea True.
I had no idea she was beautiful. From Nashville.
She moved to New York City in 1968 and changed her name from Andrea Truden to Andrea True after having acted in a few small film roles. She was actually in the movie The Way We Were, the Barbara Streisand movie. Isn't that
a
trip?
When I heard that, I almost started watching the movie again, even though I don't need to see that movie again because it's fine. But like to like try to spot her.
I don't need to see it a first time.
It's okay. It's 1973. It seems that way.
Shortly after these first few film appearances, when things kind of, I don't know if things weren't necessarily going her way. I think that's kind of like an unfair stereotype that people like go into porn when there's nothing else. I think that she kind of, according to a couple of the obituary articles that I read about her, because spoiler alert, she's dead.
Wow. You did not cushion that one.
No. I think that she just kind of got talked into it by some friends.
Yeah, I think that's kind of, it was like, okay.
And she was just sort of a free-spirited kind of lady and was like, yeah, sure, I'll do porn.
Why not?
So in the interest of research for this episode, I did look up a couple of her titles.
Oh, good Lord.
I just want to say, I'm not sure the acting thing would have worked out for her anyway.
I mean, did you actually watch the movie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I watched a couple of them. And specifically, like, I wanted to see the you know, interacting before the sex parts.
Okay.
Yeah. And even, like, during the sex, when she was, like, she wasn't even very convincing, like, with the, oh, that feels great. She seemed to be...
There's a lot of drugs. Probably numb to shit.
Well, what's very strange is that, like, these movies had to be early 70s, right? So she's probably, like, around 30 years old this time. The co-stars were dudes who were, like, very obviously meant to, like, look... like high schoolers.
Oh God.
And she was supposed to be like the MILF. But I guess the problem is that in the 70s,
MILF porn in the 70s?
I know.
I thought that was like a 2000s
thing. I know. And okay. I think that, well, first of all, she's like 30 and it's like not super convincing, but I guess everyone in the 70s looked like 25 years older than they actually were.
Yeah.
So she looks like she's like 45 even though she's like 30 in these movies. I don't know, but yeah, it was not good acting.
Well,
even for porn, I was like, good Lord.
I've never seen it. See a 70s porn once. It was a roller disco porn. It was a 3D roller disco porn.
Did people bang in roller
theater.
Skates?
Like, just remember, that was my first time ever experiencing the 70s porn bush. And I was
You saw it in a theater? Or
yeah, it was like a midnight showing at a theater. Like in St. Louis one night when I was
there. So you did the full like baby boomer experience and you actually went to a pornographic movie in a theater and sat and watched it with all of your clothes on in a room full of other adults.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
3D.
By the way,
roller disco.
If any baby
porn.
Boomer ever tries to tell you shit, just remind them that their generation invented going to the theater with all of your friends and sitting fully clothed and watching an hour and a half long porn together.
Never thought about that. That's messed up.
That's a thing that they did.
We do not do that.
No, we don't.
We do that in the privacy of our homes and our phones.
Exactly. After a few years of porno films, including Deep Throat 2, she was in Deep Throat 2.
I didn't know there was a sequel.
I didn't
know
either,
about porn.
But apparently she was in it. Mm-hmm. And another one called Lady on the Couch, which I'm going to call her an innovator for that one, since the couch thing is like kind of big in hetero porn now, I think. She scooted off to Jamaica because she still like was doing other acting at this time. So she scoots off to Jamaica and records this commercial, and then they would not let her return to the United States with the money she made from the commercial.
They had like a coup in Jamaica.
Yeah. Do you know why specifically she wasn't able? What the law was in place?
I don't remember. Yeah,
This was in the BBC article. There was a law in place that was, quote, a response to U.S. sanctions imposed on Jamaica for electing Michael Manley as the prime minister because he was a Castro sympathizer. So the U.S. had sanctions on Jamaica. So Jamaica said, fine, we won't let people travel here and then return to the U.S. with money, et cetera, et cetera. So Andrea was not allowed back to the States with the money she had made from shooting a commercial in Jamaica. So she took the money instead and went to a recording studio in Jamaica and said, hey, I have this idea for a song. And she cut a demo tape.
Yeah, like,
and they let her bring that back.
Well,
with
it was like a Greg Diamond song that they had. She was dating Greg Diamond.
Correct.
The cat likes this story. It's in my lap now. She was dating Greg Diamond, and he had recorded this, like, instrumental, like, a couple years before, and they had never done anything with it. And she just, like, calls him one day and is like, hey, let's go to Jamaica and put some vocals on it. And so that's what they did, and then they came back with the song.
I'm glad you cleared that up, because I noticed that Greg Diamond was credited as a co-writer on this song, and I actually had a note because he's credited on another one that she did later on, and I was confused by the story about whether he was in Jamaica with her or not. So he flew down there. He came to Jamaica, and they did the song together. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yep.
So this song, they were allowed to bring the demo tape back to the U.S., and that song became More, More, More.
It's beautiful.
Which is definitely by far her most well-known song, and for good reason.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
It's a disco classic.
It is
Everybody
classic.
Knows it.
This was a number 4 hit in the U.S. Number 4. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Number 5 in the U.K., number 9 in Germany. It was a big hit a lot of places.
A really funny story, too, even after it was produced, they were trying to, like, get it out. Like, I think it ended up getting released in Jamaica first because it was already down there, and it was kind of a hit.
Right.
And they brought it back to New York. Like, it ended up in the hands of Tom Moulton, who was... Do you know who Tom Moulton is?
No,
I
don't.
He's a producer, huge disco producer. He was, like, the originator of the 12-inch.
Oh, so is this, like, the Buddha Records guy?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what... But he just, like, would remix a bunch of stuff. He, like, invented the 12-inch single and popularized it for club use. So it was really big in the disco era. He gets a hold of it, and someone's like, hey, can you do something with this? And he, like, ends up remixing it into the form that it is now. Because, like, the original Bare One, like, that they just did.
It was a demo.
Yeah, it was like, it's fine. It's, like, the same song. It's just, like, it's not as dreamy and magical that, like, the sound of this is. And also, he had no idea she was a porn star. And when he found out, he was like, I wouldn't have done that. He was like, I didn't realize the whole time she's talking about sex. I thought she was talking about the music because it was so pretty.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How naive.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I found that where she had told the LA Times in 1976, very shortly after this came out, because, like, she did not hide the fact that she had been in porn. Mm-hmm. Like, I think people probably knew her from that. And I don't think she cared to try to hide it because she would have used a different name. But she used the same name that she was in the porn on her records. Yeah. But she told the LA Times that she was done with porn after she had hit it big in music, that she wouldn't do it again. She told them that she would sooner be a, quote, waitress or a typist, which I thought was funny. And her quote about it, and I just love this, is porn's loss is disco's gain.
Oh,
isn't that great?
I want that tattooed on my body. Oh, my God.
It's funny. I actually have a note here. I was like, make sure this ends up on Danielle's epitaph.
Like, that's porn's loss.
Is disco's gain.
Like, there's a really good podcast that I actually haven't even finished listening to because it was so long, about where they tried to find Andrea True and figure out how all of this came along. I think it's called The Rialto Report.
Uh-huh.
And they talked to Tom Moulton and they...
Did they not know that she was dead?
No, this was, like, before she died.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a few years ago. Yeah, so they were, like, talking about this. What was I saying? I already forgot what they were saying. What were we talking about? The disco really threw me. Oh, no, the porn questions. She apparently, when she first started doing press, was, like, proud of the porn thing. She was like, yeah, that's my past, and I did it well. Screw it. And then, like, she got sick of getting asked about it every time, and that's when she started to turn into the I'd sooner be a typist, and, like, I didn't I don't make a dollar off those movies, which is probably true.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, so, like, that's when she kind of, she just got sick of hearing about it. I think she thought when she hit music, it would be like, huh, no one cares about the porn anymore, but it's, I think she realized it was always going to be with her, and she did not like it.
As far as more the song goes, I completely agree with you that this is a classic, and I think it's a classic for good reason, because a lot of disco to the untrained ear can get swallowed all together and sound the same, but more really stands out. Like, you mm-hmm. know this song if you've heard this song. It's just got a very classic hook with the little wood blocks and everything, and it's just
a piano-based.
It's melody. Everything that's great about disco in one song.
Oh, yeah. And it explains what phrase is more disco than more.
Exactly.
That's the whole era.
That's the 70s. Exactly. It's the 70s disco
era. It's the 70s disco era that popularized and got into 80s culture for everything, just business. So
yes,
we are here because of more.
Exactly.
You ask me.
And also worth noting, I feel like we should mention it before we roll the clip.
Oh.
Famously, the bridge of this song was taken and used to make the 1999 song Steal My Sunshine by Len.
The best part of the song.
Which I love, yeah. It just, I love their creativity in taking literally just 15 seconds of this song that sound unique and then making an entire new song out of it.
It's perfect.
Great stuff. So we're going to talk about some more Andrea True songs, and she doesn't have that many. We're going to talk about almost her entire catalog. first up is Call Me. This was a number 5 hit on the disco chart back when there was a disco chart.
Yeah, this is when you're getting back into that, like, everything, not everything else, but everything is back in that Greg Diamond production.
Yes.
So it's like, it just doesn't have the same kind of thing as more. It's very just pure disco. The vocal production is terrible.
Well, interesting, too, is that on the full cut of this, the full album cut of this, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if there is more than one cut. I only know of the 7-minute version, but there are no vocals until almost 3 mm-hmm. minutes into the song.
That's a disco None. Mixing.
To me, I think there are like 3 different kinds of disco. Okay, so you have like dance floor disco, like Stayin' Alive. You have like a very funk heavy disco. Stuff like Mother, Father, Sister, Brother, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this, which I like to call like city disco or like city shuffle disco, where it's just like, hey, it's a nice day in the city in the 70s and we're kind of shuffling on through doing our thing. Like that's the image this conjures in my
okay.
head. And I think that a lot of the rest of her stuff would fall under that kind of city shuffle. Whereas the first was like the kind of banging dance floor disco. This is more of like that city shuffle disco. If you're into this kind of thing, there is a very interesting subgenre of Japanese music that was popular around this time and into the early 80s that they called it city pop. And it's that same kind of thing. It was just like this metropolitan music for the working person.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah.
I've never even heard it and yeah, I love it already.
It's very, very cute and cool.
That's music for the working person.
Yeah, exactly. Another number 5 hit on the disco charts for Andrea True, or
that's like
I don't
her
know
thing now.
The Andrea True connection. I never can remember which ones are credited to which artist.
It's all Andrea True connection
until we get to the third album.
I think that's even under Andrea. Well, that might just be Andrea True.
The third album's definitely Andrea
yeah,
True.
Yeah, no, and the connection is.
I'm not
just
even sure that White
studio.
Witch, the second one, is Andrea True. I'm going to verify that while we're rolling this clip. But this one, I think we are still definitely Andrea True connection here.
Yeah, it's just session. This session is, musicians.
Right. That's this is
connection.
Called Keep It Up Longer is the name of this next one.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty indistinguishable
little
from
corny
Call Me.
Name there.
Yeah.
Keep It Up Longer.
Yeah, again, she's not hiding from her roots here. This basically is just...
It's just disco. It sounds exactly the same as Call Me.
It sounds like it's Call Me Part 2. I mean, it really is.
Like, I actually had to check when I had it, like, rolling when I was listening to it. I was like, did I hit the same song again?
Okay, so I just checked. Yes, Call Me, Keep It Up Longer, both credited to the Andrea True Connection, as was this one, Party Line, which would be the last single off of her first record, also written by Greg Diamond, the same guy who produced and wrote More, 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 co-wrote More, More, More. This actually hit the Hot 100. This hit number 80 on the Hot 100.
It's kind of a good song. I like it. It's our second mention of a Party Line.
I know. I thought the same thing. Hello, call back to episode 3 with File 13 and their Party Line.
But this is a cool one. It's like, I don't know. I love any song that's like, this man is running around with a whole party line of ladies.
I know it.
I love it. You work it on out, Andrea. Love it.
So the second album, which was also credited to the Andrea True Connection, this sort of fake band that didn't really exist, White Witch, comes out the following year, 1977. And our first single, New York, You Got Me Dancin', is actually another top 40 hit for her.
That's a good song.
It is.
It's kind of good. It's like kind of a little bit forgettable disco, but the hook is really good. I think that's good.
It's a little peanut buttery. Little bit of a peanut butter hook. Number 27, U.S. hit. Hit number 4 on the dance charts, and actually was charted in Canada as well.
I'll take that.
Same. I think that she kind of rolls with the city shuffle disco sound, as I'm calling it. I'm just inventing a term here. Call it city shuffle disco.
City shuffle disco.
That's what it is.
Poland's loss is disco's gain.
I also really love the way she pronounces the word dancing, because she's kind of like, keep on dancing. Yeah. There's like a lot of extra vowel sounds in there. So this was my biggest surprise in researching Andrea True, is that she has another song that's like actually really, really kind of good. Mm-hmm. like one that made me want to go back and listen to it again a couple times, like in the last week that I've been researching this topic. This is called What's Your Name, What's Your Number? It barely missed top 40. It peaked at number 56 in the US. It was a number 34 hit in the UK, and it was a club hit also. Just the bass line on this is out of control.
It's good. Like, there's a story in the song. That does not happen a lot in disco. A lot of times it's just words that fit with the beat, and you don't know what they're saying. It's like, drugs, dancing, drugs, more dancing. Like, that's disco. But, like, I love it. Like, finding love on a crowded disco floor. Oh, I love it.
If only that really happened. I want to throw out, there is actually a disco song from, I want to say, around 2000, 2001, somewhere in there, by a group called Who Da Funk. It's called Shiny Disco Balls.
I love that song. Shiny Disco Balls.
Yeah, and it's like basically everything you just said, because the words are like, drugs, rock and roll, badass, Vegas holes, late night booty calls, shiny disco balls. That's like the essence of disco.
I forgot about that
I didn't even
song.
Think about it. That was a little tongue-in-cheek. They were just kind of making fun of like the themes of disco music. But you're onto something
that's
there.
That's why I always tell people whenever they get on me for loving disco, they're like, disco sucks. Didn't you know it died? I'm like, do you have a problem with drugs and dancing and partying? Like, that's what it is. Come on.
So I mentioned that a lot of her music, I think, falls into like what I've now coined the City Shuffle disco, and that more and more and more is like dance floor disco. This to me falls in that third, the funk disco,
kind of pocket. That.
Yeah, it's like it's super funky. That bass line is just it's very
really good song.
Very funk, and I love the little like Rhodes piano. You can hear these like really cool little like high Rhodes piano notes that kind of do that little celestial tinge at the top. Yeah, I'm with it. I love this song. I went dancing at the disco last night. I saw this guy. I think I saw the light. I had to find out who he was.
Who he was.
I had to find out.
I had to find out.
What's your name? What's your number? What's your name? What's your number? What's your name?
So it would be three more years before we heard another record from Miss Andrea True, and she dropped The Connection for this third one. This record is extremely rare. It was only released in Italy. It was called War Machine, and it came out in 1980.
Hard rock, Andrea.
Yeah. I have seen it sell for like $350. People want a lot of money for this thing if they have a copy of it. It's a new wave record. I mean, it just is. It's a straight up new wave record. Some delightful individual, though, has put the entire thing on YouTube. I'll make sure we get a link at least on the episode page for this. But you can listen to the whole album. Some guy has it up on YouTube. Yeah, we're just going to talk about kind of the title track here, because there actually is a music video, too. Mm-hmm. She shot a video to it. And it's like her in this sort of Andrew's Sisters World War II thing happening. I that's the best way I can think to put it.
I mean, it's just a completely different thing. She apparently was like, it's written as a, you know, a big fuck you to Reagan, apparently. It's a big fuck you to Reagan, and your war machine is basically what it is. I just realized I'm wearing a Reagan shirt.
You are indeed.
For this. I did not plan that. Whoops. Anyway, I'm really, but fuck him. I'm just wearing the shirt.
But fuck him?
Oh, God.
You're just not thinking about anything coming out of your mouth today. Yeah, I think it's interesting, and I think that it shows the one thing that this album shows is that she was actually very serious about music.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that she even thought to make this record, regardless of how, I mean, it's whatever. If you're into new wave, you'll probably like this. But I think that it does show that she was very serious about her music career.
And she was okay with moving on to other stuff, not sticking. I mean, there were plenty of disco albums still coming out that were kind of popular, at least in the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
She could have stuck with that, but now she really moved on. I think she wanted a new identity. Pretty cool.
But still there is a war machine, and men will die for his dream. To take more lives and run more lives. Whatever the cause, whatever the price.
So according to the BBC, Andrea moved to Florida after War Machine came out, and she sang in clubs, quote, until complications from throat surgery made that impossible. So she had some health problems, essentially, that prevented her from having any further of a music career. She did at some other points in her life, apparently work as a drug and alcohol counselor, a telemarketer, and an estate agent. Just kind of bounced around and had various careers did not involve singing.
Yeah, she apparently tried to go back into porn in the early 80s too, but she was like 40 and it was like they didn't allow, I guess they weren't into the MILF porn anymore.
I was gonna say like now is your MILF porn time to shine.
I guess that was 70s and then like the 2000s, like it all comes full circle. Yeah, she apparently tried to go back into that, and when like the Rialto Report podcast found her, she was living, I think it couldn't have been too much longer before she died, but like she was living in upstate New York, like outside of Woodstock.
Oh.
With her roommate was somebody she used to do porn with.
How
like
funny.
Some other chick that she did porn with in the 70s. That was her roommate.
How funny.
Yeah, and she was really sick. Like she wouldn't talk about not how sick funny. She was, but she like could not. Like, she was having trouble, like, getting up and walking up and downstairs. And she was like, I'm fine. Can we rest now?
The most recent picture I could find of her was from 2005. And even then, she didn't look great. She lived until 2011. She died November 7th, 2011. And it was nice to see like that several different outlets ran memorial pieces mm-hmm. on her. The LA Times had a really nice article. Rolling Stone did a piece on her. So I think that's cool just for someone who you wouldn't have expected maybe to get that kind of attention after passing away.
I think the Lynn song helped.
Probably,
really brought it. And it's in so many movies and TV shows. It's more is so...
It's so iconic and so important.
You may not even know who it is or what the song is called, but you've heard it because it's in so many things. And
it is. It's just a very important song.
She also fought a lot to get the royalties. She wasn't getting royalties for 20 years on the song. She got lawyers to get her some royalties out of it too, finally. Huh. Yeah.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed this step through the career of Miss Andrea True.
And our posits on disco.
Yes.
Disco theories.
Our disco theories,
disco
yes.
Disco theory 101, PhD.
Disco theory 101.
Porn's loss is
Danielle.
Disco
yes.
Dane.
That's right. Porn's loss is disco Dane. If you learned nothing else today, walk away with that porn's loss is disco's gain.
God, I want that as a tattoo so bad.
We will be back next week talking about another lady who got famous elsewise before doing music, but it wasn't through porn. So stick around next week stick around next week to find out what that's all about. In the meantime, you can reach us on our website, which is offbeattrackscast.com.
We are on Twitter at offbeattracks.
Yeah, drop us a line. Tell us who your favorite porn star is that you think should record an album.
I don't know any of them. Gross.
Oh, I can think of some hilarious ideas there. All right, we're going to go compile those. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.